verses from Genesis. Colossians 3, verses 23-25. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. The word of God, thanks be to the Lord. Amen. So we have been in our Reflect and Reset series now. We have talked about body, spirit, mind, relationships, and home. Today we're going to be diving into the area of work. My first job ever was a quarter boy at some batting cages. That was my official job title, was quarter boy. I got paid $4 an hour and as many slushies as I wanted. I drank a lot of slushies. But I was essentially just a human change machine. People would give me cash, and I would give them back quarters to put into the batting cages. And then occasionally, when they didn't work properly, I went and hit them with a hammer. That was my toolkit. I've had all different kinds of jobs. What was your first job? Think about that for a minute. Think back maybe through some of your work history. I've worked in fast food, I've worked in an ice cream shop, I've worked in a couple of factories, I've worked for a community mental health agency, I was a graphic designer for a little while, I was a security guard, I've been a missionary, I've worked with high risk and homeless youth, and I served as a youth pastor, and now I'm a pastor. I've had an interesting road, I've had a lot of fun jobs, and some of them I did not like. Some of them I really absolutely detested. Some of them were essential simply for a paycheck. And I think for most of us, we've had similar experiences. We've had moments or maybe jobs that we've loved and then others where we're not so happy with them. And if it wasn't for that paycheck, we would have said goodbye a long time ago. When we think about work, in terms of a biblical context, an appropriate place to go is Genesis. Going back to the beginning, we think about work from a God perspective. But we often don't go back far enough. A lot of times we go back to after Adam and Eve have eaten the apple and God curses them and says that now it'll be difficult for you to labor, to bring things out of the earth, that childbirth will be difficult. But really work begins long before that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The very first thing that we learn about God is that He is a creator. Or that He works. The very first thing that God reveals to us about Himself in Scripture is that He works. God intended for His image bearers, for you and I, to work as well. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We use this verse a lot to talk about the fruitful and multiplying that we should have families, offspring, and children. But it's more than that. It's bearing fruit in all aspects of our lives that we are to engage in the earth around us to move and work in it for its and our benefit. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So God's original plan for His creation, for us, was for us to work, even before the fall. He tasked us with work. And if work is a gift and a blessing from God. And like everything else in all of creation, when the fall occurred, that dynamic changed. But the blessing and the gift that work is not completely removed. It isn't just in the process of being redeemed, like everything else in all of creation. The curse made work more difficult, but even in that difficulty, we should look for a blessing. Because now in the context in which we work, what it should do through the difficulties, through the challenges, through the adversity, is force us on a daily basis to go to God and to lean on Him. In those moments where you can't get out of bed in the morning because you really don't want to go to your job, or if you're wondering whether that paycheck is really enough, or if you're struggling with conflict at work, you lean on God and you trust in Him. Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23 says this: "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them." And what this is referencing is the new heavens and the new earth. It's talking about there will be one day when you're no longer working in vain, where you're no longer subject to the curse, but everything is transformed and redeemed for the way that it is supposed to be. And this is what we are looking forward to. Not just for our personal redemption, not just for the world, but really for everything in the world, including work. The primary purpose of work is not to bring us fulfillment. The primary purpose of work is to bring God glory, to serve Him and others. Jordan Rayner says we need to reimagine or reset our thinking about God, our relationship with Him, and what work means in context of that. To transition from self-thinking or operating in survival mode and begin thinking about how we can bring God glory through our work. And the primary way that we glorify God in our work is by striving for excellence. Rayner says a good question to ask ourselves as we think about this work relationship and our relationship with God is to ask ourselves, would I be content with only ever receiving the applause of my Heavenly Father? Would I be content with only ever receiving the applause from my Heavenly Father? Because that question helps us orient our thinking. Are we thinking about ourselves, or are we thinking about God's glory? Are we seeking for people to praise us, or are we seeking for people to praise God? Another question that we might ask is, am I working in line with the gifts that I have been given? And now it's not always an option to change this. That we can't always just up and leave a job if we decide that we're not working within our gift set. Sometimes we need to continue working those jobs. We need for that paycheck to come in. Or we think, maybe I thought for a long time that God had gifted me as an artist. And it became quickly apparent that I was never going to make any money as an artist. And so I said, I'm going to have to do some other jobs. I still believe that God has called me and created me to be gifted. but I am never going to be a professional painter. I have to seek to use my gifts in different ways. And it also helps me to look forward to what Isaiah was talking about. When we're no longer laboring in vain, we're no longer laboring for a paycheck, but we're simply laboring for God's glory. And so we struggle now with that future hope, that what we long for now, even in our work, even as we long to use our gifts and talents, God is faithful in His promise, and He will deliver on that. And it may not happen until we reach glory, but it will happen. All that we do, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, should be done to promote the reputation of Jesus. And this only makes sense if Christ is in us. And although we recognize that there's a lifetime of renewal laying ahead of us, and although we strive for perfection, knowing that we'll never achieve it in this life, we strive for it anyways, and we offer our thanks to God. That in whatever work situation we find ourselves in, we strive for excellence, we strive to do our best, because we are seeking to bring God glory, not us glory. And as we use our gifts and talents and really whatever we have to the best of the ability, we are bringing God's glory. So whether you love your job or you hate your job, you can bring God glory in it. Jesus' resurrection transforms our eternity, but it also transforms our lives now as we live out our union with Him and remember the privileges that are ours in Him. Remembering the privileges in Him is that's where we find out our why, our purpose in life, or maybe why we are called into a job that we really do not like. As we look at this passage from Colossians, at first glance, it might raise some questions. That first word, bond servants, bond slaves, in our culture oftentimes brings to mind really the horrors of slavery. Anytime we hear that word, we think of the horrors that happened in the history of our country, and really that are still happening in the world around us today. People who are forced into slavery and mistreated and abused. But that's not really the type of slavery that is being talked about here. It's a bond slave is someone who voluntarily entered into service, a work type agreement to pay off a debt that they had. So if they owed money or something else, they would enter into a work agreement. I will agree to work for you for X amount of years in order to pay off what I have owed. Paul refers to himself as a bond servant of the Messiah, that he recognizing that he has a debt that needs to be repaid, a debt that he cannot repay. But this is the idea that is being looked at here. At the time that this was written, Rome alone, 80 to 90% of the population was either a slave or a former slave. Up to 90% of the population knew exactly what was being talked about here in terms of being a bond servant. And no doubt some at the time were abused and mistreated, but then others were treated very well and put in charge of running households, being put in charge of entire businesses. We can think of the story of Joseph in Egypt and how Joseph as a slave was put in charge of running the entire country of Egypt. But for the slaves that are being talked about here, their earthly masters, their lords according to the flesh, meaning that the authority is limited to this world, that they serve them for a short time. But their heavenly master, their heavenly Father, Jesus, is the Lord of heaven and earth with unlimited authority. He is the one through and for whom all things were made. And he's reminding us here that as you serve your earthly Lord, remember that you are really serving your heavenly Lord. That means that you serve faithfully even when your earthly Lord might not be looking. That you serve faithfully even when you think nobody can see you. Because they might not be able to see you, but Jesus can. And if these verses apply directly to the slave-master relationship, how much more should they apply derivatively to the employer-employee relationship? That employees are called to serve their earthly employer with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And likewise, employers are called to treat your employees justly and fairly. In all of this, so we think about this employer-employee, slave-master relationship, our first thought should not be our own rights. Richard Chin writes this. He says, there is a certain irony in Christians pursuing their rights. Jesus, the beloved Son of God, who was equal with God, willingly gave up his right to die a death that we deserved. Surely that should give us some pause if we find ourselves prioritizing the pursuit of our rights above all else. That our life as Christians is not about us. Really, our lives as Christians, our lives are all about bringing God glory. And the way that He calls us to bring Him glory is to worship Him and to serve others, to love others. And it is really easy to get caught up in that self-thinking, to get caught up in feeling like you're being treated unfairly in your work or your job, or if something would just fall into place, or maybe that opportunity would just come across your desk, that maybe something could change. And it's not wrong to pray for that. But it is wrong to neglect worshiping God even in the midst of a job that you really don't like. Because God calls for us to glorify Him wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, and to find opportunities to serve the people who are around us. And think about the people that Jesus calls us to serve and love. Time and time again, Jesus reminds us to love the unlovable, to love our enemy, to love the people that we really don't like, to love the people that aren't like us, really to love everyone. And so even if your boss or your job is the world's worst boss or the world's worst job, where can you bring glory to God in that? And Paul reminds us here that although we may never see our reward on this side of glory, that we will be rewarded. The slaves in Paul's day had no earthly inheritance. They were working to pay off a debt. They exited slavery at zero. Maybe better than they were before because they were no longer negative, but they exited slavery at zero. They had no earthly inheritance. But they had something far more important than that, is that as they submitted their lives to Christ, they gained their heavenly inheritance. That as we follow after Jesus, that we may be called into places of hardship and calamity, that life is not always easy, but our reward is great because our reward is Jesus and what He promises us. C.S. Lewis writes this: "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." We are called to store up our treasures in heaven, not on this earth. Work may not be enjoyable. It may not presently be bringing you fulfillment. But work was designed to be a blessing. And that we find our enjoyment, our fulfillment, the benefit in that as we seek to glorify God. That God tells us that as we draw closer to Him, that we begin to see His blessings more and more. We work for His glory, not for ours. And we may never see the rewards of that on this side of glory, but our rewards are eternal. Let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, this world isn't always what we want it to be. There are times where it is very difficult to navigate the work environment, the stress that it places upon us and our families, the positions that it places us in terms of our emotions. So we pray that you would help us to navigate that, to navigate it well, that we would seek your glory above all else. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.